Hello, this is my Lenten diary for April the 2nd, 2020. Today is Thursday in the fifth week of Lent. This is a reading from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." If you've been in church at all, sooner or later, you encounter this amazing story. The story that was often described in King James Version Bibles as the story of the rich young man. He comes to Jesus, he immediately recognizes, or he has heard of Jesus' reputation. He recognizes him as a teacher. And this is a man on a mission. He wants to be certain that he's on the right path. Jesus gives him, in some ways, the standard rabbinical answer. Do the things, the commandments, the law of Moses tell you to do. But the young man understands that there's something missing because he has already kept those commandments. I don't believe that he's bragging. I believe he is an earnest seeker. He's not saying, "Well, I've already done all of that." Instead, he's saying, "I've kept all of these, and there's still something missing. What more must I do?" And Mark records an interesting sort of moment between Jesus and the man. Mark says that Jesus, looking at the man, loved him. He had an immense compassion toward the man. And in that moment, Jesus also has an insight into what is holding this man back. There's one thing you can do. You can sell all you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. And Mark says the man was shocked and went away, turns around, because Jesus had asked him to do the thing that he could not do, because he already had many possessions. Plenty of preachers have said, did he have the possessions or did the possessions have him? Whatever the case, Jesus marvels to the disciples that are around him and has that wonderful hyperbolic moment. It's easier to thread a camel through a needle's eye than for a rich person to get into heaven. The disciples are obviously frustrated. Well, who can be saved? Jesus says, with human beings, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. God can even save recalcitrant wealthy people. God can even redeem for God's self those people who turn away from a gospel opportunity. It's an amazing story. As we continue to make our way through this time of sheltering in place, plenty of us are watching all sorts of news channels. Many of us are watching our various investment portfolios. Not a good time to be watching those. The economy continues to slow. We don't know how long this slowdown will last. We do not know how the sheltering in place and all of the other protocols will affect the economy long term. We're all beginning to get in touch with our varying scales of economic fragility. And of course, in this country, the joke has always been that no American thinks they're wealthy. They always think that other people are wealthy. And the other joke is that how much money does an American need in order to feel like they have enough? And the answer is a little bit more. Make no mistake, there are plenty of people already who are beginning to feel the economic impact of what we're going through as a country. There are people who are worried about their rents or their mortgage payment or how they're going to buy groceries. I was on the phone today with someone and we're talking about the congregations in our diocese that are worried about how they're going to be fiscally sound over the next few months. It is a scary time. And I'm not going to moralize about our material possessions as Americans, but my guess is we're going to have an opportunity to really reflect on what is important. We're going to have an opportunity to reflect on whether we own our possessions or our possessions own us. But in the midst of all of this difficulty and uncertainty and pain, in the midst of the fear that's gripping many about whether or not they will get sick, in the midst of people who are grieving the loss of loved ones, and the people who are struggling in varying conditions of sickness with this virus and are worried about whether or not they will survive, this is the time, I think, where what is important really does get clarified for us. Will another $1,000 make us happy? Will another trinket from Amazon fill our souls with joy? What does it take for us to be saved from ourselves, from our desires, from our fears? It feels like we are entering into a time of great impossibility, where we are going to be seeing more and more intractable circumstances. And we, as people of faith, would do well to remember that with human beings, there are a lot of things that are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I don't believe that that's a cliche. I believe that God is present with us right now. I believe that God is calling us as the church to be who we are as people of faith, to hold on, to hold out, to pray with every bit of fervor that we can muster, to fear not. I do believe we will discover what things motivate us as individuals, what things are important to us, and we may really discover that all of those things we were holding on to as sources of security, they don't hold up in times like these. As the psalmist said, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And as Jesus said, this is the same Lord with whom all things are possible. Let us pray. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.